In Halos and Hormones, we're going to deal with marriage. We're going to deal with being single. We're going to deal with dating. We're going to deal with everything along this line. And, and I call it Halos and Hormones for this reason. Halos represents, you know, angels in the world and all this kind of stuff, being godly. Halos, form upon paintings and all this. They put it on Mother Mary and angels and anybody being led, all the apostles and the saints. They paint them with halos over their head. It's supposed to represent following the will of God. But you know what? God is the one who gives us His will, but He's also the one to put hormones into our bodies. Hello?
Amen.
And to desire to be married is a good thing. Now, what you do with that desire can be the difference between right and wrong. Hello. You know, I always love how people, you know, will demonize certain things. Television, guns, knives, internet, all this stuff. But really, it's what you do with it that makes. These things have no spirit and they have no choices. The TV did not turn on. The internet did not type in a wrong address for you. That came from you, not the internet. The internet is amazing. And I think it has godly principles. The ministry can be preached around the world because of internet. We have people that listen to us in Egypt. And they would have never been able to listen to the messages here if it was not for the internet. Amen. And they're using it for a godly purpose. Internet is neither good nor evil. It's how you use it. And can I tell you this? There's a desire that the Lord put upon you to procreate. He told Adam and Eve what?
Right.
Be fruitful and what? Multiply. And it was not wrong or evil for them to do so. They did it in God's will and God's manner. What has happened is the world will try to pollute the goodness of God and cause you not to live in the goodness of God. Hello. And tell you that the goodness of God is back way, old way of thinking. It's not relevant anymore. I heard one person say the best way to get over your temptations is to give in to them. Yeah, I know. Ridiculous. But in all this, I want to deal with the subject of marriage, and I want to hit it, you know, head on with a Mack truck. This is what I love. I was talking to somebody very recently, and I told him, I said, you know what? If I worked for another church or denomination, I'd be fired. I love the church that I pastor because the stuff I say, most churches would hang me and crucify me upside down because I would not be willing to die like Jesus did. So I'm going to start off with a couple scriptures that you're going to be like, I thought we were talking about marriage today. We are. You're going to be like, what? And then we're going to get to the original marriage, Adam and Eve, and we're going to look at that. But we're going to start off in Titus chapter 2. We're going to start off in Titus chapter 2. We got a lot of scriptures to read, so you need to pull all your stuff together. Get rid of everything that's happened to you yesterday, the day before, this week, right before you got here. Because the more you pull in, the quicker we'll get through this. If you're not with me, we'll just stay for hours on end. All right, Titus chapter 2. Do you know that you can make a service better? You as an individual can make a service better. If you are connected, if you're connected with what's going on, you make a service so much better. And you make it easier for me to preach too. So thank you for helping me. Help you help me this morning. Titus 2, chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. Well, this answers two questions very quickly here. What if people die that never heard of Jesus? It's not possible. It is not possible for someone to die and not hear of Jesus. Well, what if they're in a remote part of the jungle? Hey, look, I didn't say how they hear.
That's right.
I don't know if Jesus appears to them on their deathbed, if angels go to their tribe. I don't know what happens. I just know what Jesus says. And I believe His word over whether I can understand or get a mental picture of how it happens. I think Jesus makes it very hard for you to go to hell. I think He makes it very hard for mankind to go to hell. If they've never heard with their natural ears because they live out in Timbuktu. Actually, Timbuktu is reachable. But, you know, somewhere else where it's not reachable. God will make sure that they hear salvation message given unto them. It shall appear to all men. Now, mankind. Verse 12. Teaching us. Now, I want to point something out here. Let's go back to verse 11 real quick. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. What brings salvation?
Grace.
Grace. So we're still talking about grace in verse 12. Let's read verse 12. Teaching us. I want to say this very clearly. If grace is not teaching, it is not grace.
Wow, that's good.
If grace is not teaching, it is not grace. Grace teaches. Grace will cause you, let's continue to read. Grace will teach us, it will teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. If this is not being taught, it is not grace. This is what grace does. Grace does not cover sin and says, oh, you can do whatever you want, live any way you want to. Grace shows you how to eradicate and destroy sin in your life. That is grace.
Amen.
Thank you for the people that have really enjoyed that. Now, so let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read in verse 8. Grace teaches us to live righteous. I've had people use the excuse to me before, I can't live righteous. Yes, you can. Grace teaches you to live righteous.
That's right.
If you feel you can't live righteous, you don't have enough grace in your life. You need more grace. Hello?
Amen.
Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power, say power,
power,
after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This is also one way that you can live holy, that you receive power.
Right.
You got the power on the inside of you.
Right.
You know, that reminds me of that old song, I've Got the Power. You know, we have the power to live in this world. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and into Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I can't resist telling you this horrible joke. You don't get more utters than in Wisconsin. To the uttermost parts of the earth. You're in it. You are in the uttermost parts. I'm going to tell it until Jesse smiles. There we go. We can move on. That's terrible. It's terrible. I remember being in Bible school thinking, I will never tell those terrible pastor jokes. And then you get here and there is anointing that comes on you to tell horrible, horrible jokes. And if you ask most people today what is being a witness, most of them will go to the bullhorn, standing on the side of the street, and, you know, passing out tracts and things of that nature. Now, that is a form of witnessing, but I want us to notice something here. It says, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall what?
Be
a witness. Your life should be a witness. I think both these work together. You need to be able to tell people about Jesus, but you need to be able to live Jesus in front of them. They need to see you and understand there is something different about you. You're just not normal. You are peculiar. I tell you, if you've got Jesus in your heart and you live it, you are weird to the world. Don't try to fit in. You don't fit in. You just don't. I'm not telling you you don't need to be stylish or care about what you look like or how people perceive you. But what I am telling you is that when you set Jesus in your heart, there are things that you will live and walk out that the world just will not understand. They will just not understand. They will recognize that you are different. But it is that difference that will cause your life to be a witness. Hello? Somebody needs to give the Lord a shout of praise in this place. Now, we're going to turn really quickly to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to look at the original marriage. Where is the original marriage? Who originally were married? The first Adam and Eve. Now, they did not get married in a church. Ooh, that would discount them from a lot of places. They're like, oh, they didn't get married in a church. Ooh, they didn't have that venue. Somebody's mama's going to be mad. That's terrible. All right. Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 26. Sorry. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 says this, "And God said..." Now, I want you to understand this word God here is the word Elohim, which Elohim is the plural form of God, which means God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Its exact definition is rulers or judges. And we know that this is all of them because of the next statement, "Let us." So it is all of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit saying, "Let us all make man in our own image, in our own likeness."
and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. We got some creeps in this world, and you have dominion over them. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them.
Did this ever throw you off, this scripture right here? Did it ever make you sit back and be like, that doesn't seem like proper English. Somebody mistyped something. Because when I was a kid, this used to get me a little bit. Because you look at this. He created him. And then it says male and female. Can I tell you this? We are not talking about transgender here. God did not create man transgender. He did. Adam did not walk around with male and female. He was not asexual. It was not in his mind. He was created a male. Created him. And then says male and female created them. Now we're going to get into this. I'm going to explain this so it makes sense. Because that used to throw me off as a teenager, as a kid. I mean, like, I don't understand that. That seems a little weird. It's one of those things you're like, eh, whatever. I'll learn it later. And you just keep pushing forward. So we're going to get into what this means. But I want to look at a couple things here. In verse 26, it says the word make. And in verse 27, it uses the word create. These are two different words and they're used on purpose. God didn't use different words so that the book wouldn't be repetitive. You know, some authors, they'll use a thesaurus so that they're not using the same word over and over and over again. God did not put different words in there so it wouldn't be repetitive. He put them in there for a purpose. And so we're going to look at these words. The word make here in verse 26 is the word asah, which means to do, to fashion, to accomplish, to make that is out of something. In other words, to make something out of existing materials. You can make cabinetry out of wood. Hello? You can get flour, eggs, and all the other ingredients and make me something to eat. And I would recommend that highly. Oh, come on. You could laugh at that a little bit more than that. You know, there's certain ingredients to a pecan pie. And you make that. There's ingredients to ice cream that you make. Can y'all tell I love food? Yes, okay, I was just wondering if it comes out in this. And then the word create is the word bara, which means to create, that is out of nothing. So in one verse, we're talking about the body, to create out of existing material. What did God create the body out of? Dirt, earth, dust, all these things. Yes, absolutely. Correct. God took something that was in existence and created the body. And then in verse 27, or excuse me, in verse 26, he made something out of something. But in verse 27, and that was the body, in verse 27, he created the spirit of mankind. He created the spirit, and that was out of nothing. All my doctors in science, let's go ahead and think about that. Creating something out of nothing. Because, you know, everything that is created must have energy. Energy never goes away, blah, blah, blah. God creates it all. Oh, I want to say this too. Let's just talk about this for a second. Every time a baby is born, there is a baby is created or made out of something. Yes. Hello? It is made out of existing material. Right. Yeah. Right. But then a miracle happens and forms on the inside of them, and God creates a spirit on the inside of them. Yes. Mankind has a help in it. I would give my wife a high five, but she will not high five me on that one, so I'll go to somebody who will. Yes! We get to create or make something together that we can't do apart.
That's right.
We get to make something. Yeah. But in that process, God makes a miracle or creates a miracle every time. Every baby that is born on the inside of them is created a spirit that never existed before. A miracle every time. It's amazing. It is an amazing event. Oh. So we have the word asah and the word bara, which one means to fashion out of something, to make out of something, and the other means to create out of nothing. And so verse 26 is telling us the body was made. Verse 27 is telling us the spirit was created. Now, this is where the institution of marriage comes from, right out of verse 27.
And it goes back to the part where I said he created him, male and female, he created them. Do you know what was on the inside of Adam that's not on the inside of me and you? Two spirits. Verse 27 is talking about spirit. Verse 26 is talking about the body. Verse 27, he created him, male and female, he created them. He put on the inside of Adam, male and female spirit. He put the spirit on the inside of both of him. One body, a male body, he put two spirits on the inside of. Now, time passed. Time passed. We know this because God brought all the animals before Adam. And Adam had the name, all the animals.
Right.
Be like mosquitoes. Ouch. Yeah. I wish he would have hit that one. I wish he would have hit that one. I remember I asked my daddy one time, God, why did God make mosquitoes, Daddy? He's like, son, do you realize how many millions of dollars, billions, industry that is? Somebody needed a job. I'm like, well, I guess I never looked at it like that. But God had his reasonings. I don't know all his reasonings, but I have wondered sometimes about some things. But that's, you know, we're not omnipotent like God is. He knows, and he did it. And we have, I mean, what can we do to question him? What have we created out of nothing? Right. Nothing. Oh, so let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And so he created and he put on the inside of Adam two spirits. Two spirits. And we're going to read this, Ecclesiastes 9 and 9. And then I'm going to read it out of God's Word translation because I think it clears it up a little better. But it says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he has given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity, for that is the portion in this life and in thy labor which thou taketh under the sun. Now, God's Word translation puts it this way. Enjoy life with your wife, whom ye love during your brief, pointless life. Question, is your life pointless? No. So who are we talking to? We're talking to the unbeliever here. He's talking to the unbeliever and he's saying, you're a pointless life. Right now, your life is pointless. You're doing nothing with your life. You're not living like God wants you to live. And so enjoy it. But this is what's wonderful. He still tells mankind, enjoy your wife. Right. Hey, man, enjoy your wife. Your life right now is pointless, but enjoy her. Have fun. Can I tell you this? Man and woman was created. Institution of marriage was created before redemption was ever even discussed. Redemption was not even discussed until chapter 3. And so marriage is to all mankind. It's not just to the believer. There are some promises that are just to the believers. This is not one of them. He even points it out in Ecclesiastes here. Sinners, you're living very pointless right now. So if you're going to get anything, love your wife. Y'all have a good old time. Go on vacation. Enjoy yourself. Get back rubs. I don't know. What are y'all doing enjoying your life? You know, go eat at wonderful restaurants. And I'm not even going to state the obvious. It's cold in Wisconsin. Let's go. Let's move forward quickly. And so believers and non-believers are supposed to, you know, marriage is an institution that God created for mankind to enjoy.
Right.
Hello? He created that for mankind to enjoy. And, you know, in this world, we deal with a lot of stresses. We deal with a lot of problems. We deal with a lot of things. And we are supposed to be able to come together. Man and husband. Husband and wife. Husband and wife coming together. Male and female coming together to bring each other peace.
That's right.
Relief from stress. Praise you, Jesus. And, you know, just causing life to be better together.
Amen.
Marriage was never meant to be a bondage. You know that old, ball and chain mentality? That is not what marriage is. If that is your marriage, then you ain't married right. You're not even living the life that God commanded to the sinner. Enjoy your wife.
Amen.
Marriage was never meant to be something that was painful. Marriage was never meant to be that the husband or wife drives around the house 3 or 4 times because they don't want to see the other one quite yet, and they have to talk themselves in to pull it into the driveway. Be like, I know what he's going to say when I get home. I know, I know, I know. Be like, let's just go to the mall. Be like, where's some nails? I'm going to run over them so I could have a flat tire and have an excuse to be very late. It was never meant to drown yourself in bourbon because you were trying to get rid of the pains and the sufferings. That marriage was never meant to be that way.
That's right.
Marriage was meant to be joyful. Amen. It was meant to be celebrated. Amen. But I want to point something out in this scripture here as well. In verse 9, it says, "And in labor which thou taketh under the sun." Can I tell you this? Marriage is labor. Marriage is labor. Marriage is work. And if you haven't figured that out, you haven't been married. Or if you have, you've been extremely selfish. Marriage is a mess load of work. Normally more for the lady because we just, guys are normally just ignorant to a whole lot of things. I am this way. I don't know if you've noticed. You haven't hung around me long enough. But I will think, if you're good at keeping a smile on your face, I will think nothing is wrong with you. I will think everything is perfect, and I will continue to do the same things that is ticking you off over and over and over and over again, because I just believe everything is all right. You know, I had a roommate one time, and they were mad at me, and I didn't know. And they were being quiet, and they stayed off. They stayed to themselves for 3 days. And this was my thought process of year, because they always had a Bible open or something like that. I thought, look how holy they are being. I need to be more like them. They are fasting and praying. I'd come in the house, and I would just like tiptoe, because I'm like, they are fasting and praying. I'm not going to bother them. I'm going to go up, get my stuff. I'm going to leave. Everything is great. And then about the third day, they said, "Don't you know I'm angry with you?" I'm like, "No, why? I thought you were being holy, spiritual, taking time aside to be with God." No, they were being very secular and fleshly and decided to hold something against me that I didn't even know happened. It is the truth. And so we are wired a little differently. Jesse likes to say that she is spaghetti and I am a waffle. I have one department for thinking. And when I'm in that little cube, I can't get to the next cube until that cube is closed. And where Jesse says her, you know, everything just kind of run together. Think right. Of a million things at one time.
Right. That's right.
So we're all wired differently.
Yeah.
Where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. It is labor. You got to work on some things.
Yeah.
You got to work on things. Marriage is not the answer. If you think marriage is the answer, you have a world of awakening. Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
Jesus is the answer. And if you're like, "I will be happy and I won't be depressed when I'm married." No, you will be more depressed and more unhappy. If you don't work on it on your own and you're putting so much expectation on someone else to heal all the wounds and the pains. And when they don't fulfill that, you're just so let down because you waited so long. That was the answer. No, it's not the answer. Jesus is the answer. And so you've got to labor. You've got to labor in a marriage. But can I tell you this? It's worth it.
That's right.
It's worth it. The fruit that comes out of it is worth it. Look at your spouse and say, "You're worth it. You're worth it." All right. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. I want to point some things out. Genesis 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1 of 26 says this, "And God," which we know as Elohim, and let's just put the definitions that we already know in there, "and Elohim," which is God, the rulers, the judges, the divine one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, said, "Let us make a saw fashion from something we've already created, man in our own image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And I'll just say this. When you get married, you better watch out for the creeps. There are creeps that try to creep its way in. Mm-hmm. There are creeps that will try to creep in and steal. And I'm not talking just like people. I'm talking about a lot of things. It can be time. It can be anything. You know, this is it. I mean, it could be a video game on your cell phone that you're raising a farm and you got to crop everything and get everything in, or whatever the game is that you play, or whatever it is that you'll spend hours upon hours upon hours, and you don't even work on your marriage together. And that farm ain't going to give you nothing at the end of the day. Those little popping bubbles ain't going to give you nothing. Changing jewelry, I don't even know what, there's that Candy Crush. You crush all the candy you want, but it ain't going to give you nothing in the end. It ain't giving you nothing.
That's good.
Your marriage is the greatest treasure and gift given to you.
Come on.
Can I tell you this? God gave us marriage so that we could experience heaven on this earth. That's what you were supposed to experience. You were supposed to experience a little bit of heaven on earth, and God gave us marriage to do so. We could get into the deepness of it, a Father, Son, Holy Spirit, different, but yet one. And God created one man and put on the inside of him more than one spirit. All right. But we're not going to get deep into it today. But God the Elohim fashioned the body out of something that was already created. In verse 27, and so God created bara, manufactured from nothing, man in his own image. God created him male and female. God put two spirits on the inside of one body. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 5, not too far away, in verse 1. This is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created he them. Let's read that again. God created him. Male and female, he created them. And blessed them and called their name Adam. Whose name?
Adam.
Their name was Adam. He placed on the inside of them, he created him male and placed on the inside of them, or inside of him, male, that he put on inside of him, them. I want to read that again. He created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. He made him, verse 1, he made him male and female, he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. He created him, but on the inside of him, he put them. Again. In this day and age, people could take it, oh, look, God is transgender. No, 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 no. He did not create a transgender. He created one man with two spirits. We had the Godhead, one God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we know it's possible. We know that he does it.
Right.
So there's precedence for it. Yes. God created him, but on the inside of him, he put them. Turn to chapter 2. We're closing right now. Chapter 2. I'm just giving you a preface for marriage here. And we'll get more in detail about marriage, dating, and all this stuff as we go. And I'm going to answer the questions. I think church should be the best place you learn about marriage.
Come on.
I think relationships, this should be the best place you learn about it.
That's right.
Church should be the leaders on creating happy marriages and why they function the way they do. Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God. Now notice we went from God to the Lord God. Now, these are two different words. Are you ready? We still have Elohim, but we have Yahweh Elohim. When you see Lord God, you see the word Yahweh Elohim. Now, who is Yahweh? Jesus. Jesus is Yahweh. And it says, and Yahweh Elohim said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. Now help meet, oh my goodness. Mankind has tried to make this so many definitions and try to put so many mentalities on it. The woman was created for man. Well, yeah, but for one another. And then, you know, the church will say, well, woman, submit unto her own husband. Yeah, but the Bible also says submit one to another.
That's right.
It's interesting how we'll pick one scripture and try to make it say something it never said to begin with. And mankind, men, are pretty good at trying to make it so that someone has to serve him and not read the scripture in whole. Hello?
Come on.
Where did God take Eve from? Adam, rib. So I believe that was very, very purposed. Not the head. Didn't take a bone out of the skull. Didn't take a bone out of the foot.
Right.
Took a bone out of the side.
That's right.
Husband and wife is to be side by side. Submitting themselves one to another.
Right.
I rule my house. I've heard that. I came from a culture. I rule my house. I wear the pants in the family. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. Mankind was created to have somebody else hook up with them. Now, I want to say this too. You know, there might be a, and we'll deal with this issue, singles. Somebody might say, look, Pastor's saying I'm not complete. That's not what I'm saying. That is not what I'm saying. And I can tell you, to my wife, I looked at her one time and told her, I said, I will never tell you that you complete me. Because it's nice to say, it's great to hear, and it's almost what the world tries to push us to say. It's in the movies. You complete me. I found my other side. Yes. There, you know, there's even great songs out there. I have something to live for, you know. I'm not going to sing it. I'm terrible. But all of a sudden, I got something to live for. Now there was nothing. No, look, you are complete in Jesus. Amen. You are complete in Him. He completes you. And if you are not complete in Him, when you hook up with somebody, all your insecurities, all the stuff that you're not complete in will only get larger. Amen. They will take more dominance in your life. No human completes you. Now, we're here to help each other. We're here to submit to one another. And so we'll get into that. Even the Bible discusses some things, gives a definition of a eunuch. Now, some of you may have been afraid. Oh, God, am I called to be a eunuch? I'm like 25. I'm not married. Am I called? I don't want to be a eunuch. I don't want to live by myself. Well, there's a good chance that's not who you're called to be. God gives you the desires of your heart. I remember, I think I was like 27 and I just gave up. I was like, well, I'm done. And so there is a, you know, I was 27. I thought, I'm done, Lord. And I had a conversation with God. I still remember the conversation. I even still remember where I was. I was on the beach. Wonderful place to be to talk to God. And I was talking to the Lord. And I said, Lord, well, I guess, you know, I thought I was to be married. I had a desire to have kids, but maybe that's not it. Maybe I missed it. Maybe that desire, maybe I missed it, Lord, and that's okay. If I missed it, I missed it. So be it. Well, I'll go forth from here now on knowing I'm done. Put it on the back shelf. So whatever. I'm done. I'm done looking. I'm done trying to make it happen. I'm done. So, Lord, I will follow you even if marriage is not in the cards for me. Even if marriage and having kids is not in my life, then so be it. All the kids of the church will be my kids. And if I'm going to shower gifts and love kids, it will have to be the church. That's it. That's your body. They will be my kids. And that's it. I'm done. And so not that I didn't know that Jesse only married, you know, head pastors. So came back and that all worked out. So I'm just saying, if you think, you know, you're scared, you know, because you're 30 and you're not married and you want to be, it ain't over, baby.
That's right.
Until the beautiful lady sings. All right. And so help me, you know, it actually means a help. Now, this is interesting. It comes with the help that is intelligently equal morality, physical counterpart. Wow. So your help, it means that you're going to have mental stimulation in conversation. Mentally, they will cause you to rise up to new levels. And some men, I have had, you know, not like that. And some women want to be overbearing with that. And some men want to be overbearing with that. And some, you know, it goes vice versa. So we don't want to be overbearing. I remember Jesse one time in marriage, she says, I'm not your mother. And I'm like, And then she tried to teach me something. I said, you ain't my teacher either. But like, I got a mother and I love her. My teachers, I don't know about. Y'all are crazy. Get it together. All right. Genesis 2 and verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So we know before God created female, there was a giving amount of space, amount of time. How long was that? I have no idea. And when I say created female, the spirit was already created, but the body was not created yet. It was not created yet. And so we know a given time here, whether it was 50. I mean, we're talking all the animals.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen in a day.
Right.
You know, you can't name all the animals in a day.
Right.
So we're talking about a given period of time, whether it was 1 year, Whether it was 50 years, I don't know. Did Adam take a vacation? Be like, Lord, I would really like to go to the West Nile right now. I'm going on vacation. I'm going to sail around a little bit, and I'll come back and pick up my work when I'm done. And I don't know. I just really, we have no idea how long mankind, Adam, and when I say mankind, physical male body was by himself before the helpmate came into existence. Somebody that could physically, mentally, and spiritually match him. Be a mate for him. But, you know, and I've heard ministers say all the time, when you all these animals come, he made two. He made two, male and female. So Adam probably got the idea that something's missing here. Everything God created produces. All the trees produce. All the vegetables produce. All the animals reproduce. There's something amiss here. So there, I don't know what it was, but Jesus looked at Adam and said, it is not good for physical body of man to be alone. He needs somebody to complement him so that both of them get stimulation mentally, physically, and spiritually. Your marriage was meant to touch every facet of your life. Spiritually, physically, mentally. Every area of your life, that was marriage was meant to do, and it was a part of God showing us a little bit of heaven on earth. So we see in Genesis where the institution of marriage was created. We're going to continue to talk along the lines of, you know, desires are not evil. They are not evil. They need to be filtered through God's Word. They need to be filtered through God's Word. It is a design given to us by God. And it goes to the fact that sex is not evil. It is not bad. And the church is taught that it's so evil, 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 evil. And then all of a sudden people get married and then they expect everything to go well. Right. And they have a mentality that I've been told this is evil for so long and they have a problem getting over that. It is not evil. It is an amazing gift of God that should be experienced in His parameters. Amen. And the way that He created it to be. Because it tells us that when we enter into that, we become one. Isn't that interesting? We've heard of this before. More spirits, different spirits, but one. We are to experience the Trinity of heaven in our own lives with one another. But it is in God's parameters. So we're going to go over all of this. We're going to go in detail of all of this. Not too much detail, so you're not going to have to keep the kids out. But we'll talk about some things. And how God designed for the single person to live. How God designed for the dating to go. And how God designed marriage to be.
Amen.
Amen. That's good. That's and good. He created us male and female. Created us to reproduce. That is one of the things we are to do. Hello? Let's go before the Lord in prayer.